This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. Oh, I've got a cup of coffee. Thank you.
I did the ironing while I was there making the coffee as well.
You did what?
The ironing.
You did the ironing?
I did the ironing.
It's about time.
He always said it.
That basket was getting a bit full.
I know, so yep. I made your coffee and the ironing.
Cool. She ironed me vest.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice one.
I'm loving the production that we've got today.
Well, kind of. We got off to a bit of a rubbishy start.
Oh, I don't think we did. I thought it was fun.
No. But anyway.
We were critiqued.
No, but anyway.
Beautiful.
Whatever.
You're producing it lovely.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure.
Anyway.
We had a production meeting.
What, in the break?
In the break.
Yeah, I know. That's unheard of. After 11 years, we've just had our first production meeting. This could only go downhill from there. We were talking to Keith before we went over to the newsroom, and I just want to finish up on some things because there's so much to talk about with what the Street Soccer Foundation does. And then we've got another exciting guest to talk to as well, Tracy Ann Barker, and we want to talk to her as well. So I think if we just pile straight on with that, although we have got a load of emails that we need to get in before the end of the show too, and people are still tweeting away. But Keith, I wanted to talk now about, because I made reference to it earlier, that you and I were going to sleep together soon.
It's going to be a beautiful moment.
Yeah, it is. Because you got a sleep out happening. So tell us all about that.
Yeah, we have. So for the Kent community, we have it's the Street Soccer Sleep Out in association with the Stones Community Trust, which is the official charity arm of Maidstone United.
Yep.
The county town of Kent. That's on the Friday, the 24th of January from 7 p.m. at the Gallagher Stadium. Ultimately, what we're doing with that event is to raise awareness of homelessness. Clearly, in the nature of the event, it's not going to be a flutes and whistles affair or a corporate bash or anything like that. It's going to be a very kind of standardised event, but one hell of an experience. And clearly, it's conditioned as well, so it's not exactly like you are rough sleeping, but it will give you just a brief insight indication of what it might be like to sleep outside, particularly at this time of year.
In January.
I mean, serious. I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but most mornings, obviously, you know, we're waking up to sort of 3-4 degrees. Mm. The nights are cold. Most people are now sticking the heatings on for throughout the evenings. And, you know, just imagine it. I mean, I can't sort of underline that enough. Just imagine if you were, through no choice of your own, sleeping outside throughout the night into the early hours of the morning. And not only that, then having to deal with the day ahead. And simple things that we take for granted, like, you know, showering, you know, brushing your hair, whatever, getting yourself ready, whacking on some new clothes. You know, it's a tough situation for a number of people, young and old. And so simply that event is one in which we can really come together as a community in Kent. And Kent's amazing. I have to say that. I mean, I know I may be biased. I've lived here forever, but I adore this county, and we're so lucky to have so many amazing supporters as a foundation. And it's just an open invitation for all of us to get together for one night together. You know, you treat it as whatever you want. It's a 12-hour opportunity to network. There you go. You know, you get a bit of soup. We might put a bit of soup on. Warm your cockles as you go.
I was going to bring a flask.
Bring your flask. No alcohol, though, by the way. No, everyone listening, no alcohol. It's a dry event. But it will be really special, I promise you that. I absolutely guarantee you will not forget it.
What's the motivation behind this? Is it to raise some money for the charity? Is it to get people to have a kind of experience of what it's like? What's the main motivation for it?
It's a bit of a mixture, but to be honest with you, it's more about the experience, because that's what people will remember. You know me well enough, Paul, that I've not really been, since running the foundation, a guy sort of walking around with a cap in his hand and, you know, asking for donations and things. I don't think anyone has ever had that off me, and neither any of our team. Which I'm lucky to have around us. And I think more so we're really sort of looking at the experience as an agenda for events that we want to run from sort of January onwards. So as a foundation, you know, we understand the importance of events because it's clearly a fundraising strategy. Mm. So it is to raise a bit of money, clearly, because that will support the delivery of the academy in Kent, in Maidstone, and across Kent. So this is our community that I'm really passionate about, and hopefully all of us are listening onto this show. But at the same time, yes, absolutely an awareness piece. So we get to understand what it might be like. And at the same time, you doing that as part of that kind of collective, you've then suddenly got an opportunity to meet like-minded individuals across Kent that represent all different types of businesses.
Absolutely.
And you've got something to talk about.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. I know you yourself have done a few sleep outs now. Did I see one that you did in Wolverhampton Wanderers?
Yeah, so we've recently teamed up with Wolverhampton Wanderers, Premier League, and to mark the occasion, they offered and ran their first ever sleep out at the Molyneux. Never done it before. Mm. We weren't the beneficiary in that regard. It was an actual homeless charity in the area, directly opposite the Molyneux Stadium. But I was up there to represent the foundation and kind of be there to support that new partnership of ours. And it was an amazing, amazing event. And it was freezing, you know, it was 3 or 4 degrees at one point, and probably colder, but I was knocked out by that point. I think I maybe got about 2 or 3 hours sleep. Mm. But we had about 200 odd people there, raised an amazing amount of money, about 40 odd grand. Mm. That will go straight into that homeless charity, which is brilliant to support the services that they offer. But, you know, our target, you know, not necessarily 200 odd people. If we can get that, it'd be amazing. But obviously, I respect the fact that that was at a Premier League stadium. Mm. But the Gallagher Stadium's a fantastic stadium. Mm. You know, the owners are really supportive of street soccer and the event itself as well. And at the same time, it raises the profile of the charity, the Stones Community Trust as well, because they're big partners of ours in Kent. And Kay Skelton, the head of the community down there, she's also partly involved with the foundation's work. Mm. So really, yeah, it's awareness, it's fundraising, it's experience, it's the whole thing. And I think after Christmas, hitting the new year, it's a nice thing to be able to do to kickstart your year.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to touch on one more thing before we introduce Tracy Ann. From your point of view as a foundation, you have some people that do support you financially and with other resources. And I just think it's only fair that we kind of mention that. So give us a rundown of how you're funded and who is your main supporters and how they're helping you.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, I've touched upon it before. It's a real partnership affair with how we run the foundation. We're very, very fortunate. I think I'm very grateful for the fact that we've got a program that's so impactful because of that fact that we then have testimony to sit in front of employers, large and small, with a genuine reason why to engage with us. And that's not just financially, actually. That could be support in kind. So in this room, I'm surrounded by every one of you in this room has supported and will support us going forward. I know that. You've told me that. And I'm deeply, deeply grateful for that. And you know, there's firms out there that have actually sponsored exclusively for Academy. So, you know, I must give a shout out, if yeah. I may, to FM Conway. They've been an incredible supporter of ours since 2016. Mm. And just to give, if I may, Paul, really, really, really quickly, for all those that are running charities in Kent, as one example of an opportunity to create a revenue stream for your charity. So I've never run a charity before street soccer, and I literally put pen to paper and wrote to Conway as a business, having identified the fact that they're in construction. I saw a kind of alignment in terms of, you know, building businesses, structures and houses and this, that and the other, and roads and everything else, and supporting their communities. And we're looking to support the homeless. So I researched their website fully, found it was a real family affair. Michael Conway, the CEO, it was his father who started the business. And ultimately, I wrote a letter asking for 15 minutes of Michael's time to basically talk from the heart about street soccer, my plans to support the homeless in Kent specifically, his community. Right. And I got an invitation to meet with him. I had just under an hour. And in that 1 hour, walked out with a sponsorship.
Wow.
And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm no way saying that. But I'm simply saying, if you're running a charity, because it's hard work, I'm running a business, frankly. Yep. You know, but if you're looking at revenue streams and income streams to support your sustainability, think about also the business sector, not just relying on the public sector purse, because that's shrinking.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to answer your question head on, I reckon probably up to date, it's roughly about 80% have been grants,
yep.
20% roughly has been sort of sponsorship stroke donations. And that's going to change. Mm. So we as a foundation going forward are no way relying on grants. You know, we're very lucky that we do have them coming in and have had. But going forward, we're really driving that business engagement piece, yep. which I think obviously Tracy Ann's going to talk about that kind of key importance of investing in your CSR for a real gain on both sides, business yep. plus community.
Yeah, Cool. Keith, thank you for that. And thank you for that introduction. And I think it's probably about time that we talk to Tracy Ann. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for a very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Tracy Ann Barker. Tracy Ann, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Paul. Good afternoon, everyone.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. First of all, just give us a bit of background to you and your business, and then we kind of follow up on what Keith was saying there, because I know it's something that you're very passionate about and that we want to talk about here.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Paul. My business is two strands, really. One is management training, so very much helping individual managers that are new in their job roles.
Yep.
That's been my background for a number of years.
Okay.
But running throughout my sort of 30 years, really, of working in commercial and the public sector has been a common theme. So charity, giving back, making a difference, and community activity. Mm. So I've taken that really into being part of my business. So Right. Corporate social responsibility, bit of a long word, so CSR for short, is really about a business identifying what they can do that's good for their community, good for their stakeholders, good for the people that work for them as well. And really trying to help address the issue that many businesses have that really is to identify what they can do to give back and make a difference, but also get the business benefits out of it.
Absolutely. And I think that's the key thing that we need to look at here, isn't it? You know, many years ago, if a business was successful, they may make a couple of donations to charity.
Absolutely.
And that would have been where it was. They'd bung you a few quid, get a bit of exposure and go, yeah, well, we feel better about ourselves now. That's not what corporate social responsibility is about at all, is it?
No, absolutely.
For me, and I want to hear your views on this, for me, it's about a partnership. It's about doing things that aid the community, but also aid your business. So whilst it might involve a charity, it's not just about being philanthropic or charitable for the sake of it.
No, it's
about a partnership. So as an example, I run an event every year with Kent County Council and Kent Supported Employment and the Education People, which is an event for people with supported needs. So you could look at that as some kind of charitable thing that the businesses might do, but in actual fact, it's not. There's a benefit to businesses to come into that because they're going to find some very talented workers from a pool of talented people that they didn't probably realise existed. And for me, that's the essence of corporate social responsibility. It's a community thing. But I want to hear your views on it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A business, what's really important for a business is that they choose good causes, activities, community interest companies, social enterprises. There's all sorts of charitable, in inverted commas, setups out there.
Yeah.
But they choose something that's right for their business.
Yeah.
Really that aligns with their values, aligns with what they're doing. So if you want to get involved in CSR for staff retention reasons or future recruitment reasons, that sort of event that you describe is a perfect activity.
Yeah.
So find something that's meaningful to you as a business, and actually you would then be more authentic and it won't just be a tick box.
Yeah.
So you know, when you go through that activity, you run those events, you talk about it to your clients, your future staff, your stakeholders, perhaps your funders, because more and more funders are looking for businesses to have activity in the CSR arena.
Yeah.
Actually, you become more authentic.
And absolutely,
you have a really good reason for doing it, rather than it being a tick box service.
I think that's really important, and I think that's something that we need to emphasise more and understand more. You know, there's nothing wrong with bunging a few quid. You know, if anybody's got a few quid, I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and we're broke, so by all means, bung us some money. But it's more than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. Pounds, shilling and pence, to coin an old-fashioned phrase, are really important to all charities, absolutely. But from a CSR perspective, you can give donations in kind. Mm. So you can give time, perhaps run a service either at low cost or free of charge, provide, you know, perhaps the marketing service, perhaps the website, perhaps hosting the website for free for that organisation. There are so many different things you can do.
One of the things that I've seen some organisations do is sabbaticals, where they give their staff full time to a charitable organisation.
For a set period, normally.
Yeah, for a set period of time,
It might be four days a year, one day a month. Mm. There are all sorts of options that doesn't cost the business a huge amount of money, but actually to the charity, actually provides much more value to them. So just as an example to sort of bring Keith back in here for the moment, you know, the social return on investment for the pound that's actually invested, street soccer, for every pound, it equals £8 for them as an organisation.
Right.
So that's amazing for that business. So if you invest, you know, £10,000, well, you know, it's far more than £10,000. And if we're talking about perhaps, as you say, the sabbatical, that demonstration to that business or that charity from that business is actually so much more worthwhile, gives so much more back to the charity.
Absolutely. But it's also a benefit to the business because you are giving your staff an ability to learn new skills and new talents in a new environment that they can bring back to your business.
Definitely. It's a win-win for both sides, absolutely. Mm. And one of the really recent studies that I've seen was a report actually by Deloitte 2019, talks about the millennial generation and Generation Z. Mm. And when we say that, and you know, being somebody that's 40 plus, you know, that sounds like quite a lot of young people.
No, sorry, I was going to make a comment there, but I'm not going to.
Not talk about age. But millennial generation, that's anybody born after 1981. Well, we can all do the quick maths there. Yep. That's probably most people's workforces, a vast bulk of someone's workforce in their business. Mm. Actually, they want more than just salary. Mm. They want their employer, they want the brands that they buy from to be doing more ethical activities. They want them to engage in the community. So actually, as an employer of choice, you're looking to attract your future talent and looking for your business to grow, actually, CSR is good for business.
Absolutely.
Get involved. Mm. Get involved.
Mm. Can I just literally say one thing on that? So just this morning before I travelled to the show, I was on the phone with HSBC. I hope you don't mind me mentioning the name, but the reason I'm saying the name is because they are now public domain, the first bank to offer an opportunity to open bank accounts for those with no fixed abode.
Right.
So that will obviously clearly include the homeless. Mm. And to echo what Tracy Ann has just said, the bank are telling me today, as of this morning, that they know now they don't just want to tack on to a national type charity. Mm. They want to absolutely go local and get behind local organisations, local charitable endeavour, where they can give their staff in those local communities the opportunity to engage, volunteer, mentor, give back support.
Yeah.
Exactly what Tracy Ann's on about.
Absolutely. I just need a quick mini rant here because it's
there are other banks available.
No, not about HSBC or banks, but about this localism thing. It is such a passion of mine. It's a trend that I've seen unfolding for the last few years, and so many people haven't twigged this. They don't understand why, you know, they throw accusations at people that want to change things because they don't understand this drive to localization. One of the benefits of technology is it gives you more control. And what we all want as human beings is control. We want control over our lives. And the 20th century model of managing everything from a big organization from the top down does not work. And it isn't working now. It's why so many of our institutions like the NHS or anything else struggle, because it's all managed top down and it won't work. You've got to manage bottom up and you've got to manage local. And you're absolutely right, Tracy Ann. Millennials, my lovely little snowflakes, they see this in a vastly different way to the way that we did. They want to be part of a community. They want to make a difference. They want to be ethical. They want to be eco-friendly. They want all of those things. And they want a job that's meaningful too.
Absolutely.
But also you said something really interesting. We've spoken about this, especially when you do your 30-30s. I think businesses are getting it wrong. Mm. And this is where they're getting it wrong. They think that they are the power to employ somebody. And actually, it's the employee.
Absolutely.
It's that person who chooses, I actually want to work
for you.
For you. And that's the switch around.
Do you know, funnily enough, I mentioned earlier that I'm going to speak with Keith and Kate at Athelbrae, their training company. And one of the things we're going to talk about is they're delivering training to people on how to recruit. And through my work earning jobs in Kent, it's one of the things that drives me nuts is so many employers just haven't tweaked that they're not in the driving seat of this. There are 841,000 unfilled jobs in the UK at the moment. If you want to employ someone, you've got to give them a good reason to work for you.
Absolutely. You've got to be that point of difference.
Yeah.
Look at your competitors. Many of them won't be doing what you're hopefully planning to do from a CSR perspective.
Mm.
Make yourself the employer of choice.
Yeah, exactly.
And you will attract that natural talent. Yeah. And there are six steps from a CSR perspective, six things that you can do.
Okay.
So create a policy.
Yep.
So have a policy. It can be one-sided, it can be two-sided, it can be a lot longer, but just a simple CSR policy. Have an action plan or a list about what you're going to do, perhaps during the next 12 months. Identify, and this is really important, relevant good local causes, good causes that actually are relevant to your business. Organise some CSR activities. So perhaps run an event, sponsor a member of staff, perhaps who wants to do a marathon or bike ride. Run the activity, obviously, most important, get a lot of photos, use that for your social media. Get some quotes from participants, make sure you've got those. And afterwards, shout about it.
Mm.
If it's relevant to you as a business and you're authentic about why you're doing it, actually, it won't matter and you will get traction on social media.
Mm.
And customers, clients, potential employees of the future will buy into what you're trying to achieve. And that's why it's relevant. So those six things that you can do as a business don't need to cost you a great deal of money.
Absolutely. But I keep coming back to this. The way I look at it, though, is it's an investment, because what you're doing is building your employer brand. What you're doing is marketing your business. What you're doing is positioning yourself in a local marketplace that says, look, we're part of this community. For me... I don't see it as a charitable or philanthropic giving. I see it as part of your marketing budget, effectively.
Absolutely. Yes. CSR, it can boost morale, raise your profile, as you say, increase productivity.
Yeah.
CSR projects, if you get your team and your staff, however small, whether you've got one, two, three members of staff, whether you've got more, they will feel motivated. They will feel engaged with your business. You'll get more out of them, ultimately. It will help you win new customers. So as you say, use it as part of your marketing strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you take the environmental angle, if you have an environmental activity, it will help you reduce costs, reduce overheads. Ultimately, that's good for business.
Absolutely.
For the bottom line.
Mm.
So actually, there's almost no reason
why
a company should not get involved in CSR.
I can't think of a single reason why you shouldn't, and I can't think of a single organisation, even a one-person self-employed person, that doesn't need to get involved in some way. Even a simple thing, you came to one of our 30-30 programmes the other day, just something simple like that, 2 hours out of your day to introduce yourself to potentially the workforce of the future. They're not millennials, they're Generation Z, which is even worse. They're people born after the year 2000 that are just entering the workforce. That makes you feel old, doesn't it? So, again, at that level, it's just something simple, just a couple of hours of your time talking to people about the world of work is important. So from your point of view, Tracy, I want to kind of talk about some of the other things you do. You're a leadership trainer, and again, that's another passion of mine. I'm of an age that I spanned two centuries, and the interesting thing is looking at the difference in how things happen in the 20th century to the 21st century in terms of things like this. I got my first management job when I was incredibly young, which was a bit of an eye-opener. And back then, there was no real sense of training or anything. And there was also one of the things that I found appalling about leadership was so many people, myself included, were given the job because we were good at what we did, not because we were good at managing or leading.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I call it the accidental manager.
Yeah.
So you're an industry expert.
Yeah.
You're a subject matter specialist.
Yeah.
And you get promoted from within, often's the case, or perhaps you go for a promotion with another company. And because you've had 10 years experience or you're the expert in that particular field, you get that promotion.
Yeah.
But particularly, and certainly when I started out in the world of work, you're given the job, but no training to support it.
Absolutely.
And you're expected to make a success of it. So take the number one salesman in the organisation, the sales manager moves on.
Mm.
Actually, that person gets promoted because they're the best salesperson. But often are the worst manager in the world.
And as a business, you've then destroyed two things.
Absolutely.
You've got no salesperson and you've got a really rubbish manager.
Double whammy.
Absolutely.
So it's really important that businesses invest. When you look to promote somebody or somebody moves into a role, support them with some real basic knowledge and skills training from a management perspective.
Mm.
Help them deal with conflict. Mm. Help them deal with managing their friends, because particularly if they've come up through the team, managing your peers is very difficult, particularly when you've got an issue.
I want to ask you what you think about this. For me, again, one of the problems that I see with management is that it's often used as a status indicator and motivator, and it's not looked at as a set of skills in its own right. And for me, I don't see why you... my background was in technology, and it's a specific... It's a real problem in technology, because techies... excuse me, get promoted into management positions, and they're not remotely suited to it. You know, management is a people business. Techies tend to be data people. They tend to be introverted geeks. Yeah.
Sit behind the screen.
Yeah. And so giving someone a reward by making them a manager is a killer, as far as I'm concerned. I just want your views on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so many people, as you say, managing people is a skill.
Mm.
You have to be a people manager to be an effective manager.
Yeah.
And definitely I, you know, sort of plead to businesses out there, you know, if you're looking to promote those managers that are those experts, perhaps the techies, support them. There's no reason why they can't be the manager, but it's really important that you support them, support them through that process, because if they're not a people person, then actually you need to help them. Otherwise, as you say, you know, earlier, it's a double whammy. You lose two people.
What I found early on in my career is there's no manual. As a techie, you got really, really, you had to get really stuck. If you got really, 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 really stuck and you couldn't go anywhere, you read the manual. Yeah,
absolutely.
But with management, there isn't really a manual.
There isn't at all. And people can make it, you know, the people that you manage can either make it an absolute breeze and can make it a real headache and a nightmare.
Mm.
So actually, it's important that you work out your management style, how you're going to lead that team. But actually, as you say, it's often seen by the employer as a status thing. So give that person that promotion.
Yeah.
Just because you've got that management job doesn't give you an automatic right. Actually, you've got to earn that trust with that team that you're leading, that trust that you're with that team you're managing. And you've got to get it right from almost day one.
Yeah.
So it's really important that a business is engaged in my services or somebody like me to help support that person through that process. And what I've found quite interesting recently is some of the businesses that have been sending people on my course, actually not everybody has got the title of manager. And what I have found interesting is people are managing lots more products and processes, but they still have a management role. So actually, don't forget, just because somebody hasn't got the title of manager, supervisor or team leader, actually, other people in your business could need some of those skills as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, the biggest challenge people often find is managing friends, managing conflict, and generally their communication style.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the worst kind of scenarios is where you get a management job over a group of people that you were working with who also went for the same job and didn't get it. And that's a killer, because they're just not going to help you at all. That's just, they're out to prove that you were the wrong choice. What fascinates me again, though, is again, and I think this is kind of the point that you were alluding to, is that, we don't, if you're talking, if you're interviewing someone for a technical job, you know, someone that knows Windows, you'll ask them loads of questions about Windows and how it works and all the rest of it. With management, you don't tend to do that. You go, have you ever managed people? Yeah, I've been a manager for 10 years. Fine, that'll do then.
Absolutely.
There's no kind of consensus around understanding the skill set that you might have as a manager or a leader.
And it's people skills.
Yeah.
You know, how do you communicate with people? Yeah. How do you deal with certain difficult situations? Yeah. And if you're in that interview process, ask them for some examples of what they've done and what they would do.
Yeah.
It's really important to pull that out of those potential new managers to really find out and explore those things with them, because otherwise you'll never find out until there's an absolute problem. And that's when it, you know, really does cause the business problems. So get it right.
I'll quickly tell you a very funny story. I think it's funny anyway. From many years ago, I used to work for Citibank, the American bank, and we were sent on a week away day, and it was managing people for senior managers course. Okay. And we're from all over the world. and we were doing role plays. And the role play that we were doing was that we had a member of staff that we suspected of having an alcohol problem, yeah? And we had to cancel him and that. And they videoed it, and then we all looked at everybody's video at the end. And there was a chap from Johannesburg who was playing the role of manager. And when we were all doing ours, we were all being all touchy-feely, you know, are you all right? Is everything okay at home? And all that kind of stuff. In the video they showed of the guy from Johannesburg, he sat at the desk, and the actor playing the person with the problem walked in, went to sit down. He went, I didn't tell you to sit down, you're drunk. He said, get out now, you're fired. He said, we can find loads of people to take your job, go away.
Wow.
We went, wow, that's going to work.
Absolutely.
So from your point of view, you're offering leadership training.
Yeah, leadership management training, that's right.
And give us an overview of the kind of things that you're talking about on these programs, and the kind of things that you look at.
So really practical. There's lots of management training, particularly qualifications out there. Mm. What I've decided to really niche in is new managers. So new managers, team leaders and supervisors, really focusing on six key areas on what we call the essential management skills course. So that's communication, managing peers and friends, which is really, really important. Mm. Conflict management, particularly. They're the sort of three key areas that we absolutely major on.
Right.
And it really is to help those managers have some practical solutions. And it's a day course. We also do an advanced course, which is for 2 days. But that, along with staff motivation and delegation, are two things that people often get stuck on. So those six sessions, those six parts for the day session really help people have things that they can take away that are practical for them to implement back in their business.
Right. Cool. Tracy, and it's a fascinating subject. It's a big subject as well. Absolutely. Thank you so much for talking about that. Look, if people want to find out more about what you do, how's the best way to do that?
TABarkerAssociates.co.uk.
Fantastic.
Website, and follow myself, Tracy Ann Barker, on LinkedIn, or TA Barker Associates on LinkedIn. Get in touch.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that. There are links to your website on the Business Radio website, and they will stay there forever. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. For the moment, thank you so much for that. Tracy Ann Barker. Brilliant. I've got loads of tweets, I've got loads of emails,
yes,
and we've got loads of things to do and not much time to do it in.
I know.
Yeah. I want to tell you about this. I've had a tweet from Romney Resource Centre, who are a charity down there in Romney Marsh. And they say, hi, Paul. I hope you're having a great show today. Romney Resource Centre is running a raffle for our supporters. If you sign up before December the 18th, you have the chance to win an amazing Christmas hamper.
I love a raffle.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
Well,
you
I
can
do.
You can enter this one.
Do you know
one.
What I mean?
You can sign up to become a supporter by going to romney-resource.co.uk/supporters, and you can find out all about the hamper raffle.
It's like getting more than 5 strips and like looking at them in front of you. It's like doing bingo with a pen.
So exciting.
I see.
Right.
No, I'm not being funny.
No, I know you're not.
Do you ever win?
Never.
Me neither.
No, don't even go there.
Kent Business School is organising the 3rd Kent Business Summit, held at the University of Kent Sibson Building on Canterbury Campus on Friday the 10th of January 2020 from 9 a.m. till 4:30 in the afternoon. This event is made possible through generous support from head sponsor Crow and media partner KM Media Group. Over 400 businesses, that's mine, that's Keith's going, you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing a round table this time?
I'm not, No.
Are you just a participant?
I'm just a participant.
You've got to come down to our level.
I have.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know how to behave there?
No.
Excellent. Over 400 Kent business leaders, local government decision makers and academic experts are expected to attend the county's flagship event to work constructively on tackling regional challenges and how to promote Kent as a sustainable, innovative, forward-thinking and outward-looking county. Here's the full details. They've got a day programme and the booking link can be found at www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS.
Cool. I got an interesting tweet here from an organisation I haven't heard of before. I think it's probably in line with some of the things that Keith was saying. It's a tweet from the Hygiene Bank, Strood and Hugh Peninsula. and they collect donations of essential hygiene, beauty and personal care items and distribute those in need to Strood and on the Hugh Peninsula and on surrounding areas. Give them a follow on the Twitter, Hygiene Who, that's H-O-O, Hygiene Who, on the Twitter.
Not ho.
Not ho, not ho-ho-ho, who-who-who.
If it was a ho, it would have an E on the end, like Plymouth Ho.
Would it? Not like a hoe in the garden.
Ooh. How do you spell hoe in a garden?
H-O-E. You fell for that, didn't you?
Anyway, Ethelbray, you're seeing them. When are you seeing them?
I can't remember, Wednesday or Thursday.
Anyway, Ethelbray, what are you saying? They've put a GIF. Have you seen this GIF they've put out? Surely this is politically incorrect, isn't it?
What's
it's ironing, bird and a bike. Do you want to come round here? And they've put a monkey. It's like PG Tips monkey. It's ironing. So not only do they call me fat and hairy leg, they've now called me a monkey.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how rude is that?
Yeah.
I've got feelings, you know. Clearly not.
Oh, dear.
Put your teeth away.
Yep. She's got a thing about my teeth at the moment.
They are
my teeth. They're my teeth. I haven't got...
You're enjoying yourself so much, yeah. Your teeth are out.
Nobody would pay for teeth that look like this.
Hurry up, because I've got a really good email.
I've got a tweet from Diamond Circle Weddings, and it says, "Hello, Vanilla Webb and Burnable Bike. We're both listening." That's Paul and Polly at home today, as Polly is a sick duck, because her Twitter handle is Polly the Duck. She's a sick duck with the winter bug, so 2 hours of the bunker will make her feel better. So get well soon, Polly.
Polly, vitamin C. Mm-hmm. And I've got a new supplement I'm trying at the minute, so I'll share it with you later on. Anyway. Okay. This is a really interesting one. I'm really pleased to be saying this. Venues and Events Expo Southeast 2020. We will be opening the doors to the third annual V Expo in 2020. And we will be hosting V Expo in a brand new venue, more central in the southeast of England. We'll be having over 80 amazing exhibitors showcasing the very best venues and suppliers based in Southeast, giving you the chance to connect with them and get to know what they can offer you and your clients. Plus, they'll be running some fam trips after and the expo to allow you to truly experience what the South East has to offer. So put the date in your diary and we will send you more details as soon as we officially launch next month. And this is Thursday, the 14th of May, and it's 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. You need to go on to venuesevents.expo.co.uk.
Fantastic. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's really great.
And I like to see that you change the venue, because actually it'll work better there than it would in this area. And you have to keep adapting and growing.
Yeah.
And you can only do that by putting on an event, listening to the feedback, watching what's happening, and then changing and adapting, as we should all do with our business.
Yeah, absolutely. Kate and Keith from Ethelbray have told me it's tomorrow I'm going there. And they're going to have the kettle on. I did know it was either Wednesday or Thursday. I just couldn't remember which one it was. I'm looking forward to that.
They've just, to follow up with Ethelbray, they've just put, "Bird and a bike. We never called you fat. Hairy, definitely." Where do you go with that?
Just to let you know, the Venues and Events Expo, I can now reveal where the actual event is taking place. Well,
so can I, because she's done a very good marketing job, but go on, you know more.
No, you too.
No, you do it.
It's going to take place at the Hampshire Court Hotel, which is just outside Basingstoke. And we went there the weekend before. Fantastic venue. It's a huge venue with lots going on there. Really, really great venue. So we're really looking forward to that. And I do believe that Amanda's had quite a few bookings already. So, it's good.
But that's what you want, isn't it? When you keep on putting on something each year, you want that to generate an energy.
Hmm. Absolutely.
I don't really, you know, when you think of a place and you get it mixed up to where it is, Basingstoke, I sort of feel like, where is that?
Hampshire. It's basically on the edge of the Thames Valley. It's on the M4, M3 corridor.
Got it.
Yeah. The home of IBM UK and the AA. I don't know why I know that. I just do. Works Diverse and I Trust Ashore are very excited to announce a collaboration. They've got an event happening on the 16th of January at Chilston Park Hotel, which is just outside Maidstone at Lenham. And it's a checkout, speak out, diversity and inclusion event. And there's an early bird booking at the moment. If you want to find out about it, if you go to eventbrite.co.uk/speakoutdiversityandinclusion. Basically, Works Diverse are an organisation that audit you for your diversity and inclusion. So they come into a business, have a look at your processes, have a look at what you're doing, and give you like a health check on whether what you're doing is right. Yeah, so you get like a kite mark for that. And I Trust Assure are a whistleblowing organisation. So if you have any doubts or concerns about something that's happened or happening to you or others in your place of work or an organisation, but you don't feel comfortable in sticking your head above the parapet, you can go to them and they will handle it for you to keep you anonymous in the process. And they've got a joint organisational event happening in January.
Wow.
Yeah. Important.
Yeah, and it's what energy comes with that, doesn't it, in that business? Yeah.
Absolutely. And while I'm on a flow, you can get something ready to do next. I want to tell you about this. The new dates have been announced for the Construction Southeast event 2020. The first one's going to take place on the 28th of April at the South of England Event Centre. That's at Arding Leigh in West Sussex. And then the next one is going to take place on the 23rd of September at Sandown Park Racecourse. That's in Esher in Surrey. If you want to find out about exhibiting there or visiting, it's
www.constructionexpouk.co.uk.
And also, once again, All Health Matters, the lovely Gillian and her team, are sponsors for the Southeast Construction Awards 2020. And the applications for the awards are now open, and you can enter your construction business for an award at www.
Wibbly Wobbly Way.
Good idea.
Thank you.
ConstructionExpoAwards.co.uk.
I've never said your line before.
Have you not?
Not.
No, that leaves me nothing to say next time, doesn't it?
Help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 3030. In this two-hour event, businesses hear from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups, while students take part in an employment-related workshop. And then both groups get together facilitated speed networking. Here's the programme. For businesses, you have a one-hour networking and presentations, FSB lobbying update, Kent Supported Employment Team, Enterprise Advisor Network, and then the Mr. Paul Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. On skills and employment. For students, you've got a one-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and use LinkedIn to your advantages. And then this is where the magic happens. You bring business and students together for 40 minutes facilitated networking and 10 minutes free networking. So you need to email alison.parmar, that's P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk. Or you can go onto the website, which is www.weganasay.
What, why, where?
jobsinkent.com and Business Bunker Radio Show. Now, the next one...
Tomorrow.
Is tomorrow, the 11th of December. I didn't know what day it was then. Mm. 11th of December, and this is at Y School in Ashford.
It's manana. It's at the Y School, and I'm not going. It's the first one I've ever missed.
How come?
Because it was booked at the very last minute, and I'd already agreed to go and do something else.
That's good, though, right?
Yeah, it's fine. I'm just sad to miss it because it's my first one I've missed.
And what we got some booked in for 2020, though, haven't you?
We've got three or four. We've got the Maskell School. We've got Longfield Academy. We've got three or four. They're all on the website. If you go to www. Over to you, ting.
World Wide Web.
Oh, yeah. KentBusinessRadio.co.uk/30-30. You'll find all about the programme, plus we regularly put the dates of the next events and the booking links there. Mm. We've got about three or four booked for the first two quarters of next year already. Awesome. Yeah, starting to gather pace. We've done 1,400 students so far.
That's impressive. Mm.
I want to tell you about another event that's happening in January. It's a free social media event. Come along to the ZC Social Media Academy on the 23rd of January. It's 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel. That's at the top of Bluebell Hill, just outside, you know, between Maidstone and Medway there. Zoe will be sharing with you the latest updates and trends in social media. You can register for a free place. It's totally free to come on the event at eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Social Media Academy.
I know people don't like January that much, do they? But it is a lot of excitement stuff when you go, oh, right, this is the beginning now, we can go for it. And I like you. Why the snarl?
You say we don't like January. Half of my family have their birthdays in January.
Not good for you, then.
No, it's not. My mum, it's my mum's birthday. Happy birthday, January, mum. She'd be 91. And it's my oldest son's birthday on the 23rd of January, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Stephen's 50th this year.
Is it?
Next year, yeah. Big He's of January.
Is he?
8th of January.
Aquarius.
No. Nope.
Capricorn. Yeah. So, are you having a big party?
No. Nope.
Oh. Does he think you're having a big party?
No. And I'm not. I'm not a party goer. You know, I don't like to be centre of attention. Which I know you probably don't believe at all, but I really don't. Stop it.
Stands
I back really
in
don't.
Yeah.
You know, when it's about you, I don't like it about me. I like it to be about you, not me.
Right.
Okay. Seriously, anyway.
But it's about him, not you.
Who? Stephen, yeah.
Stephen's.
Yeah.
It's his 50th.
Yeah.
Get out of it. Right. What you got?
Nothing.
You've done all yours?
Yep. I'm on the ball, me.
Are you?
You're slacking.
Are you, really? Alzheimer's Dementia Support. It's a charity. And they are looking for 3 new trustees. Have you got the skills, time and energy to help change the lives of people affected by dementia? Find out more by either following them on their Twitter, and their Twitter handle is ALZDEM Support, ALZDEM Support. Or if you go to HTTP, there's no www on it.
That's not funny, is it?
Is it not funny? Can you not do something like that?
What, on the spot?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Like HTTP, hacked it. How about hacked it two people? Hacked it two people, colon.
If you put HTTP, you can't put www, is that right?
No, you can, but you don't have to. Anyway,
I never knew that.
It's awzalz-dem.org. Become a trustee. So if you fancy that, do get in touch and find out more about it.
What does HTTP stand for?
Hypertext. Something or other.
See?
Hypertext Transmission Protocol.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that one again.
It was what was invented by Tim Berners-Lee. That's what he actually invented.
In 1964, wasn't it? Something like that?
No, it wasn't. It was more like 1994.
No, it wasn't.
1980s, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody Google it on Twitter, I see.
Yeah, 1980s. It was what made the internet work, basically.
Mm. Have you watched Inside Bill's Brain yet? Keith, you'd love it.
No, I haven't.
Have you seen it?
No.
You need to go on Netflix and look at Inside Bill's Brain. It is all about Bill Gates. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah,
you've got to watch it and make notes. I'm serious. It's amazing. I keep saying to you, don't I?
The Andy Murray documentary is good as well.
Mm. The who?
Andy Murray documentary.
Is it?
Really good.
Mm.
I need to tell you about this quickly, and it's quite a long one, so I'm going to try and paraphrase it. I've been talking to a chap called Guy Robinson from Kent County Council, and he has secured some funding, quite a considerable amount of funding, to develop a programme. And it's a new engineering training programme, and it's to bring low-skilled and unemployed people into the manufacturing and engineering industry. Do you know what the average age of a qualified engineer in the UK is? The
31.
Average age, huh?
31.
45.
Guess.
What was the question?
Do you know what the average age of a qualified engineering technician is in the UK?
34.
57.
Plus 19.
Yeah. So they're keen to talk to engineering and manufacturing companies that are having difficulties recruiting the next generation of engineers and need help with recruiting and training a skilled workforce. They've joined in partnership with Mid Kent College, the University of Greenwich, the Tavistock Institute and Job Centre Plus. And our first cohort of training covering Medway, Mason and Swale starts in February 2020. We're now looking for employers who would like to take part in this free project and are happy to offer a training placement. It's all funded and free for young people coming into the world of work in engineering and manufacturing. There's lots more detail about it, but for the moment, if you want to find out more, you need to talk to Guy Robinson, and you can do that. It's called Boosting Human Capital 21 Project, and you can email Guy at guy.robinson@kent.gov.uk. So do check that out. But we're almost at the end of another show, to be honest. And I need to tell you about the Business Bunker Extra Show, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders, and her co-host this week is Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, and their guest on the show is Sasha Mulligan. So you do need to listen to this by tuning into the Business Bunker Extra Show on Friday at 11 a.m. That's this Friday at 11 a.m. on channelradio.co.uk/2 or bizradio.co.uk for the Business Bunker Extra Show with Amanda, Gemma and Sasha. So do check that out. I just want to say a huge thank you to our guest today, Mr. Keith Mabbott of Street Soccer Foundation.
Thank you, Paul.
If you can, join us on January the 24th at the Gallagher Stadium in Maidstone with your sleeping bag and your little flask and hot water bottle. We'd be pleased to see you there. It's a fantastic thing to get involved in from two points of view. You'd be spending a tiny amount of money just helping with the charity, but you'll also be experiencing what it is like to sleep outside for a night in the winter.
To see Paul in his boxers is what you should have said.
I never wear PJs.
Oh,
yeah. So I can't break the habit of a lifetime. I will actually be in boxers. Yeah.
Paul, really quick, if I may, just to register to get a ticket, it's streetsoccersleepout.co.uk.
Fantastic. Yeah, brilliant. And we'll put a link to that on the Business Smoker website. I also like to say a huge thank you to Tracy Ann Barker of Tracy Barker Associates. Sorry, I've got something flashing at me all of a sudden. Thank you so much for joining us. A big thank you to Bird. We'll be back with another show next week. As I say, listen to the Bunker Extra show on Friday. But have a good week, everybody. It's nearly Christmas, so you can finish off with
Buddy the Elf. What's your favourite colour?
Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with another show. Bye for now.
Bye. Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.